Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here. This podcast is your dedicated revision companion for one of the most important and rewarding topics in your GCSE English language exam, writers' viewpoints and perspectives. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdExcel, OCR, or another board, this topic appears on your reading paper and tests some genuinely fascinating skills. You'll be reading two nonfiction or literary nonfiction texts, one from the 19th century and one from the 20th or 21st century, and your job is to compare how each writer presents their viewpoint on a shared theme. And here's the exciting part. You also get to share your own perspective in the writing section. So this topic is really about voice, the writer's voice, and yours. Over the next 10 minutes, we're going to cover the core concepts you need to know, the exam tips that will push you into the top mark bands, a quick-fire quiz to test your recall, and a summary to tie it all together. Grab a pen and paper if you can, because active note-taking will help this stick. Let's get started. Section 1, Understanding Viewpoints and Perspectives. First, let's be clear about what we mean by viewpoint and perspective. A viewpoint is the writer's opinion or attitude towards a subject, what they think or believe. A perspective is slightly broader. It's the lens through which they see the world, shaped by their time period, culture, personal experience, and purpose for writing. When you're reading a 19th century text, you need to think about the world that writer lived in. Victorian society had very different attitudes to class, gender, empire, and progress. A writer from that era might use formal, elevated language, long, complex sentences, and a tone of moral authority. They might assume their reader shares their values, because in many cases, they did. Now compare that to a 21st century writer. They might use a more conversational tone, shorter punchy sentences, direct address, and a more questioning or challenging stance. The world has changed, and so has the way writers communicate. Your job in the exam is not just to spot these differences, but to explain why they exist and how the writer creates their particular perspective through their choices of language and structure. Section 2. Analyzing language to identify perspective. Now, how do writers actually convey their viewpoint through language? Let me give you the key techniques to look for. Tone is your starting point. Is the writer angry, nostalgic, passionate, ironic? The overall tone tells you a great deal about their perspective. Look for emotive vocabulary, words that carry strong emotional weight. A writer who describes poverty as wretched degradation is conveying a very different perspective to one who calls it a challenge to be overcome. Rhetorical devices are powerful perspective shapers. Rhetorical questions challenge the reader to agree with the writer's viewpoint. Repetition hammers home a key idea. The rule of three creates a sense of completeness and conviction. Direct address, using you, pulls the reader into the writer's world and makes their perspective feel personally relevant. Figurative language is also crucial. A metaphor doesn't just describe, it frames the writer's interpretation of reality. If a Victorian writer describes the city as a vast machine devouring its workers, that metaphor tells us everything about their perspective on industrialization. And don't forget sentence structure. Short, declarative sentences project confidence and certainty. The writer is stating their perspective as fact. Long, complex sentences with multiple subordinate clauses might suggest a writer wrestling with a difficult idea or one who wants to demonstrate their intellectual authority. Section 3, analyzing structure to identify perspective. Structure is often the most underrated element in exam answers, but it can earn you significant marks if you use it well. Think about how a text begins. Does the writer open with a bold statement, a shocking statistic, a personal anecdote, or a question? The opening choice signals the writer's purpose and perspective immediately. Think about shifts in the text. Does the writer move from personal experience to broader argument, from description to persuasion? These shifts reveal how the writer is building their case and guiding the reader towards their viewpoint. Think about endings. A cyclical structure where the text returns to its opening image or idea often suggests the writer wants to leave the reader with a lasting impression. A text that ends with a call to action signals a writer whose perspective demands a response. For 19th century texts in particular, look at paragraph length. Long, dense paragraphs were conventional for the era. They signal authority and depth of thought. A 21st century writer who uses very short paragraphs for emphasis is making a deliberate structural choice that reflects a more modern, direct, communicative style. Section 4, comparing across texts. This is where the marks really stack up. The comparison question is typically worth the most marks on the reading section, so let's make sure you nail it. The key is to compare both the IDES and the methods. Don't just say, writer A thinks X and writer B thinks Y. That's AO1, identifying viewpoints. To access the higher marks, you need AO3, comparing how those viewpoints are conveyed. Use a point-by-point structure rather than a block structure. So rather than writing everything about text A and then everything about text B, you should move between them, making direct comparisons. Use connectives like similarly, in contrast, while writer A uses, writer B instead chooses to, and both writers convey this through. Always anchor your comparison in specific evidence. Short, embedded quotations are far more effective than long block quotes. The examiner wants to see that you can select precisely and analyze efficiently. And remember, you need to consider the context of each text. A 19th century writer's perspective on travel or social reform will be shaped by the world they lived in. Acknowledging this context shows sophisticated understanding and will push you into the top mark band. Now let's talk about the mistakes that cost students marks and how to avoid them. Mistake number one, feature spotting without analysis. This is the most common error. Writing, the writer uses a metaphor, earns you almost nothing. You must explain the effect of that metaphor on the reader and how it conveys the writer's perspective. Ask yourself, what does this make the reader think, feel, or believe? Mistake number two, losing sight of the question, focus. Every question on this paper has a specific focus. It might be how the writer presents their attitude to a particular issue, or how language is used to influence the reader. Keep returning to that focus in every paragraph. Don't drift into general analysis. Mistake number three, unbalanced comparison. Some candidates write extensively about one text and barely mention the other. Both texts must be given roughly equal attention in comparison questions. Plan your time accordingly. Mistake number four, ignoring the time period. When comparing a 19th century text with a modern one, the historical context is part of the mark scheme. Examiners will credit candidates who demonstrate awareness of how the era shapes the writer's perspective. Mistake number five, in the writing section, not matching your form. If the question asks you to write a newspaper article, your response must look and sound like a newspaper article. Headline, subheading, journalistic register, third-person reporting, form conventions are assessed and will affect your marks. Top tip, in the reading section, spend at least 5 minutes annotating both texts before you write a single word of your answer. Identify the viewpoint, circle key language choices, and note structural features. Those 5 minutes will save you from vague, unfocused responses. Time for your quickfire quiz? I'll ask 5 questions, pause after each one and see if you can answer before I do. Question one, what is the difference between a viewpoint and a perspective? A viewpoint is the writer's specific opinion. A perspective is the broader lens shaped by context, experience, and era. Question two, name 3 rhetorical devices used to convey a writer's viewpoint. Rhetorical questions, repetition, and the rule of 3, or direct address, anaphora, or hyperbole. Question 3. What does AO3 assess in the comparison question? AO3 assesses your ability to compare writers' ideas and the methods they use to convey those ideas across 2 texts. Question 4. What is the danger of a block structure in a comparison answer? It can lead to description rather than comparison. You end up writing about each text separately rather than making direct analytical connections between them. Question 5. What should you always do before writing your answer in the reading section? Annotate both texts, identify the viewpoint, key language choices, and structural features. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread that section of the guide. Let's bring it all together. Writers' viewpoints and perspectives is fundamentally about understanding that every text is written by a real person with a real purpose, shaped by their real world. Your job as a reader is to decode that, to look beneath the surface of the words and understand the perspective they reveal. In the exam, remember your 3 layers. The what viewpoint or perspective is being presented? The how, what language and structural methods are used to convey it? And the why, Why does the writer make these choices, and what effect do they have on the reader? For comparison questions, always move between texts, anchor your points in evidence, and acknowledge the historical context of each text. And for your own writing in Section B, be bold, be purposeful, and match your form. Your perspective matters. Let it come through clearly. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing, and remember, every mark you earn in this exam is a mark you've worked for. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.